Come on in, y'all. Let me tell you about my good friends over at Sanderson Ford. They've got a promise for you. They promise and they deliver. Sanderson Ford's been promising a better car buying experience and keeping the promise for over 65 years. And now during the 65th anniversary sale, they promise the best buying experience, the biggest inventory, and the lowest prices. Look, you buy a new car, they're going to give you a 65-inch TV with the purchase of any new Ford. Romy, get in there, buy yourself a convertible GT Mustang. You get the 65-inch TV, turn the garage into your own private drive-in.
You would need a garage for that, one.
Yeah.
I can't load hay in it, but if I had a garage, that would be something I would do.
You could have your own personal drive-in. You know, the great thing about having your own personal drive-in is nobody's going to come knock on the window when you're smooching with your gal. You never went to a drive-in, did you?
Well, I was just thinking about how we're going to sit in there without the four kids. Maybe throw them in a different vehicle and lock them in or something, I guess.
If y'all looking for a new vehicle, I'm telling you this. Whether you want your own personal drive-in at the garage or you want an F-150 or 250 or whatever Ford vehicle it is you're looking for, I'm telling you the right place to get it is at Sanderson Ford. 51st Avenue, just south of Glendale, open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
I got a funny story on that this morning. I traded vehicles. Tinley's been driving my 08 F-150 that's an XLT. And my 2019 is just an XL, very, you know, as basic of a package as you can get. And that's very, I have a lot of reasons for that. When you live on a washboard road, it's just the less bells and whistles to vibrate and rattle. And I have seen washboard, you know, over a 10-year period, do a lot of strange things to a vehicle. So I always try and get, I know a manual crank. I can always get it up and I can always get it down on the windows. You know, I stick to the basics for a reason. So my 808 is an XLT. My 19 is an XL. And when I told her we were switching this morning, she goes, "Ooh, I get the fancy vehicle." I thought, well, thank God she didn't see the King Ranch Platinum that they had on the lot.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that the truth? Oh, that's great.
You want to see fancy, yeah. They got some fancy in those Platinums.
Yeah, boy, they do. Absolutely. Here this morning at Rosie on the House, if you'd like to join the conversation about the evolution of indoor-outdoor living in our housing, give us a ring at 1-888-767-4348. The auto attendant will answer. Just simply push 1, and that'll put you in direct contact with my wife, sweet Jennifer, who's in the call screening booth, taking your name and question, and we'll get to you as quick as we can. If you'd like to talk about the concept of indoor-outdoor living, we have special guest here, Mr. Don Ryden of Ryden Architects. Don, why don't we talk a little bit about the history of your firm?
What's interesting about that?
Everything. Some of your projects are fantastic, but, I mean, you and I go back to the mid to late 70s, I think, is when first met.
Oh, yes, certainly. Yes, yeah. It was about 73, 74 is when we first met. Yeah, exactly. So I've always had kind of a calling towards a combination of historic buildings and the aspects of, passive solar sustainable living.
Okay.
And so I've always kind of followed along that path for a calling in architecture. And on top of that, then having done that for several years, I kind of got into the cause of heritage conservation. And so I end up doing a lot of work on historic buildings, famous Arizona buildings, a lot of work for Arizona State Parks, federal projects, things like that, a lot of city work, and even surveying entire rural cities to determine what neighborhoods are historic districts. So, you know, we've done Sedona, we've done well, even urban areas. We did the National Register nomination for downtown Tucson. There's a hotbed of remodeling for the past century.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you could do that one for an hour or so.
Yes, you could.
So Ryden Architects is kind of a small-sized generalist in architecture, and we enjoy working with people and listening intently to their needs. And the second client, as Cal Straub would say, is the site itself or the house that you're remodeling. So you listen to the people and you listen to the place.
And your website.
The website, RydenArchitects.com. That's all there is to it.
And we've invited Don in. Anytime you want to talk about the history of housing, Don, I have to tell you, in my 32 years of broadcasting, I can look back. I believe it was a 4 or 5 week series we did. It had to be about 10 years ago.
Well, it was exactly for the occasion of Arizona's centennial.
That's
so
right.
So it was 2012.
Okay. And in all my 32 years of broadcasting this program, that four-week series to this day is still my favorite four-week series I've ever done.
Oh, that's great. Well, you got the Endurance Award for having to put up with all of my brain droppings in that series.
I mean, we talked about all the great houses and all the ingenuity that went into the early housing over the century, the centennial of Arizona. But let's get back to today's topic, indoor-outdoor living. We've covered a little bit about how Frank Lloyd Wright kind of broke the mold of that Victorian vertical, squashed it, created open space for every room. We talked a little bit about my acquaintance, your friend, Cal Straub. Who else has taken that concept and grown it to what it is today? Who are some of the key figures?
Well, I think that there were a lot of people in the 30s who were trying to figure out during the Great Depression how to design respectable, comfortable housing that was affordable. And so Frank Lloyd Wright began with his prairie houses, but smallened them down to being his Usonian homes.
Yes.
In the late 30s. And at the same time, in California, architects such as Cliff May were coming up with another approach to architecture by delving back into the agricultural roots of California. He came up with the ranch-style house. And so he was coming up with a respectable home that was comfortable and warm, built out of materials like board and batten, red brick wainscoting, things like that, so that people could recognize it and feel good about the homes they are in. They were very simple, like you say, most of them were small, and they were well adapted to mass production housing, especially after World War II, when America had figured out how in the world to mass produce anything.
Right.
And so the idea of having a conveyor belt fabrication line applied to housing is that instead of moving the houses down the line, you move the crews down the line of the street. So that's how tract housing, using simple ranch-style houses, all made affordable by the FHA and the GI Bill. So Cliff May is the guy that really got that all started. It was part of a contest, a magazine contest.
Was it really?
It was a competition. And this is one of the most popular winners of of that contest.
Now, one of the things they did that I'd like to reverse is they took everybody out of the front yard and moved them on the back patio. What do we got to do to bring back the front yard neighborhoods?
Put in trolley cars, get rid of automobiles, and put the stable in the backyard. You don't want to be in the backyard with the stable. Oh, gee, Romy. That's your house, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the Wall Street Journal, the forgotten front porch is making a comeback.
There you
I
have
saved
it.
This article for Saturday. I was actually going to bring it up next hour, but y'all jumped right to it. The front porch is making a comeback.
It's true. Here in Phoenix.
And should.
Yeah. The big deal, if you go down to the historic neighborhoods like
They're
Roosevelt.
And
it's front yards and it's porches, verandas on your bungalow. Those houses were built a couple of feet off the ground, so you actually had a little perch up there. So there's this progression of public to semi-public, to semi-private, that's the porch, to the private, that's the house. And so that sort of a thing really made for tighter, happier neighborhoods because you were all together. The lots were narrow in the front and very deep. That's because there was so much pedestrian walking to get down to the trolley car. You didn't drive. You took the trolley. And so the houses were packed closer together. When they built ranch houses, they were the rambling ranch houses.
Needed a wider front.
So you had a wider but shallower lot. And you needed a wider lot because you had one or two cars. And now the car moved out of that detached garage in the rear to be glued onto the side of your house so that you could see your success in the tail fins of your
show your fins off.
Show your fins sticking out towards the street.
Oh,
and so pretty
hilarious.
Soon they didn't even bother putting sidewalks in some of these ranch neighborhoods.
That's true. That's very true. Now, one of the guys kind of in the Phoenix area that kind of made a name for himself for modifying that ranch into a little bit more of a contemporary look was Bucky Haver.
Ralph Haver.
Ralph Haver.
Ralph Haver.
Bucky's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So right now there's a renaissance in finding and rehabilitating Ralph Haver homes. His were his take on the contemporary style. So what he did was take the spatial aspects of Frank Lloyd Wright's Usonian house and married it with the comfort and feel and vernacular materials of the ranch house, put those together, and came up with this contemporary house. He still had the flow inside of space. The roofs floated over the home. He incorporated a patio with the carport. So he had,
yes.
he had patio ports.
Okay.
And a lot of these, you see this big, broad gable on the front side of the house, which is totally backwards to the economic way of building. You would build the shorter span of your
right.
roof on the short span of your rectangle. He did it the other direction and made this big, broad, low roof.
Well, I will tell you one thing just from personal experience of living here in town since the 1960s. If you ever doubt the value of good design, talk to a realtor in a Haver neighborhood and ask him, what can I get for that? What do I have to pay for that Haver house? And what do I have to pay for that track house?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly true.
The Haver house always brings a premium because good design brings a premium.